Hey, today we're finishing up our series called Modern Family, and we've talked about all sorts of things about family life, and many of them have been like, how do we do family life right now? But what I want to do today as we finish up this series is I want to help us to zoom out. I want us to zoom out to kind of the 30,000 foot view of family life and think about and really challenge us to think about the big picture. More specifically, the legacy, like I shared about earlier, the legacy that you can leave behind for your family. And when you think about legacy, sometimes we think of like the money somebody gave us or didn't give us, you know, and that kind of stuff. But legacy is so much bigger than that. In fact, it's way more important than that. In fact, the legacy you leave behind, it's kind of like this. What are the values? What is the fruit, or what's the seeds that we can scatter in our family that can shape the next generation of our family, the next generations and the next generations? That's what we're talking about today. And that song, What a Wonderful World, the reason we sang that and you saw these images is hopefully you were reminded maybe of growing up and some of the legacy and the people who have made an impact on your life. And it's one of those things where Louis Armstrong sang that song and he talked about looking forward to the future. And he was able to declare, what a wonderful world. The future looks bright. But I have a question for you this morning, and it's this. When you imagine your future, when you imagine the future of your family and the legacy that you're leaving behind, what does that future look like for you? I mean, maybe you can look at that and you think about that, the legacy you're leaving behind. You can say, you know what? It does look wonderful, to be a little cliche. Or maybe it's one of those things you look forward and you say, you know what? The picture looks like, you know, I've got a future and a legacy that's fruitful and that's God-honoring. Yes. Maybe you look forward, you look ahead, and maybe it's a sense of fear. Like, I mean, I hope I'm getting it right, but I'm worried about the way things are going to turn out with the legacy that I'm leaving. Maybe for some of us, it's one of those things where we just kind of don't think about it. We kind of go about life and, you know, day by day by day. And at the end, we just kind of hope and wish that it all just kind of works out and turns out. And one of the things that I know is that we have to be intentional today. We have to be intentional today about the legacy that we leave behind for the future. And you kind of think of it like we're building something with bricks, if you will. Think about building a building with bricks. Each and every day, we get to lay a building block, if you will, of the foundation of the legacy that we want to leave. So for instance, we've got all sorts of bricks, all sorts of building blocks that we can lay. Building blocks of faith for our family. We can lay building blocks of the way we treat one another, the way we love people. We lay building blocks by the way we serve, by the way we honor God, the way we trust him, the way we use our gifts for ministry. These are building blocks that we're laying as an example for our family. You think about all sorts of other things by being an active participant in church and growing in our faith, and all sorts of things are these building blocks. And as we get to the end of our life, it's one of these things where our life story can become like a monument that's presented to God and presented to the world of really, this is what legacy looks like. And the thing that I know about legacy is that, you know, nobody gets to the end of their life and suddenly starts building their legacy, right? I mean, you can like at the end of, you know, sometimes people have like these last things that they share with you as they're about to pass away. And these are like parting words of wisdom, but that's not a legacy, is it? I mean, a legacy is something that's built up over time. And so when you think about that, that means for all of us who are parents in the room, it means that we can't wait until our kids get to middle school or high school or they go off to college to start building up these building blocks on faith and the legacy we want to leave. Because each and every day, we're shaping the story that our family will eventually tell. And we're also shaping the values and the character that they're going to carry on well beyond us. And so it starts early on. In fact, I was thinking about this. Mandy and I have a son and a daughter. Many of you know that. And the thing I was thinking about is it's interesting when you think about legacy that you can leave behind and even just the way that you raise both boys and girls. There's usually, you love them the same, you love them as parents, but there's different things that you often have to emphasize for boys and for girls in order to build them up into the man or the woman that God has created them to be. So for instance, I was thinking about this, that little girls and girls as they're growing up from the earliest stages and continually one of the things that has to be emphasized in their life is that they are precious. that they are of high value and worth, that you mean something to me, you know? They need to know that they are precious. And so one of the things you think about, I see these pictures, we haven't done this yet with our daughter Kelsey, but I see these pictures of father-daughter dances. And the dads are, you know, kind of go and they feel awkward, you know, because most of the time the girls are like doing all these crazy dances and the dad just feels like, you know, this goofy tall guy, you know, by the punch bowl, you know? But the thing that you see from pictures of father-daughter dances is the daughter is always beaming because she feels so special and like she is precious and of high value. So every day when I get my daughter Kelsey out of her bed, one of the things that I do, and I think it's because it was modeled for me, just what I saw with my sisters, but I usually get her out of her bed and I'm carrying her down the steps and we get about halfway there and I'll almost every single day whisper something like this to her. I love you so much. You are so precious. You are so special to me. And every single day, I get the same response as I share this to her. I'm whispering it to her in her ear. She'll always go like this. And you just sense that, like, it's more than just words that I'm saying. That there's, it's almost like that these words and this truth is hopefully taking up residency in her heart where she'll grow up to know that I am precious in the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of my daddy. And so the sad thing is that so many people grow up not knowing and not knowing that. And then they look for love and acceptance in all sorts of places. You know that. And it's one of those things where they don't know that they're precious in the eyes of the Lord or valuable to their parents. And so if you're parenting a girl, a little girl, and, or maybe they're a teenager, one of the things that you can do over and over and over is find ways to say and to show her that she is precious, that she's valuable. And on the other hand, little boys are kind of raised a little bit differently. There's different things that have to be kind of raised up in them. And I think that all boys need to be, need to really be emphasized this truth, is that you are proud of them, that you're proud of them. In fact, one of the things that my dad always did is he would constantly find ways. It wasn't like every day, but a lot of times he would say to me, you know, I'm really proud of you. And for me, that was just one of those things where I realized, like, I didn't have to earn my dad's love. I didn't have to earn his acceptance. Like, he told me he was proud of me. And he would say it at times that were like these monument times, like I'd hit a home run or I'd do something at church, sing a solo, and he'd say, wow, I'm really proud of you. But there were even times that were difficult when I had to be disciplined for something that I had done wrong. And he would tell me and correct me, but he would say, but you know what? I want to let you know I'm proud of you. And it was one of those things, speaking this truth into my life was so important. In fact, every single man, one of the things that all of us need to feel is this sense of approval and to feel respected. I mean, we want to feel that in our career. We want to be respected by the people around us. We want to feel it in our home with our spouse. We want to be respected and honored, if you will, and as a father. And so many guys are still living their life, still trying to earn their father's approval. I've seen this over and over and over where you know, trying to, maybe they go into careers that they're not gifted to do because they think that that's what they're supposed to do. Or maybe they start going after some kind of accomplishment or line, trying to jump over the hoop, trying to please their dad. And so if you're a parent to boys, if you've got boys and they're even growing up, one of the things that you can do is to constantly find ways to show and tell them that you are proud of them so that they know that. But anyway, these are just an example of legacy and the legacy we can leave in just a simple way. But today what I want to do is I want to share with you four big ideas, four big ways that we can leave a legacy that really can last for a long, long time in our family. And it's really a legacy that truly matters. And so the first one I want to share with you is this, is the biggest legacy that you can leave. Number one is this, to leave a legacy of faith in Jesus. To leave a legacy of faith in Jesus. You knew I was going to say that first, didn't you? You know, it's kind of predictable, but it's so important because it really is the foundation on which every single brick is built. Because when we model this in our lives, then so many times, like, all sorts of other bricks start to fall into place. In fact, here's what it says in Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. It says this. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So you see this connection between those who fear the Lord and their children will be blessed. They'll be mighty in the land. It's like you're leaving a legacy for your family. Now, when it says the word fear the Lord, that's a word that happens all throughout the Bible, but it's not talking about like you got to be afraid of God. You got to be afraid of Jesus. What fearing the Lord truly means is having a sense of the holiness and the glory of God, but also learning to honor him and to follow him and to serve him and really actually to truly love him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. You know, you may not realize this, but having a genuine faith is actually, having a faith and love of Jesus is actually one of the most contagious ways that you can impact your family for generations to come. It's contagious. In fact, one of the things that happens, when God becomes your source, when you get connected to Jesus, all of a sudden, God starts rubbing off from you onto the people around you. And whether you speak about faith or not, people start to see the character that God's developing in your life, the way you love people and treat people and the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a really big deal. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I was thinking about legacy is, you know, I realize that in my life and in my faith that I am standing on very, very broad shoulders of people who have gone before me in my family, who have put their faith in Jesus and have followed them. And I was thinking like it went all the way back to my grandparents and it even went beyond that. But I was thinking about both sets of grandparents for me on my mom's side and my dad's side. Both of them had this tremendous faith in God. And oftentimes it was one of these things where their decision to follow and to serve Jesus, it didn't just impact them. It was one of those things where it rubbed off on my parents and on their siblings and on me and now my kids. And the thing that's so cool is for them, my grandparents on both sides, going to church wasn't just an event to be part of. It was actually more of a way to connect with God, who was their source. It was about a relationship always. And so one of the things I thought about is this real faith and love that they had that was modeled. And on my mom's side, I thought this was pretty cool. They had a strong faith in Jesus. But one of the things that I thought was really unique is that on my mom's side, my grandparents were actually part of a new church. They were actually part of planting a new church, just like all of you. They joined up with this church early on in Johnson City, Tennessee, that was started, and they were meeting in a hotel, and they would set up and they would break down, and they were part of this. And now I look at the faith that they have, but the church that they're part of, and it's this huge, growing, vibrant church, and it's just continued to grow and reach people for Jesus. And I think about not only their faith, but the legacy that they were leaving by being a part of this church that was getting started. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know church planting was in our blood, but it was. So anyway, watch out for your kids, right? The other thing I think about on my dad's side, I was thinking about, I was talking to my dad about the legacy my grandparents made of faith. And he said, you know what? It actually started even before that. He said it was actually my great grandmother was the one that was kind of the chief of this in a lot of ways, because she lived through the Great Depression. And it was one of these very, very difficult times. She had a whole lot of kids and was doing life kind of by herself in a lot of ways. And it was one of those things where she would go through some very, very difficult times, and the family would. And she would constantly, Dad said, she would constantly remind us and would say to the whole family, don't worry about it. We just need to have faith. Don't worry, just have faith. It was like almost like the banner she would fly in her life. And so a whole generation, my dad and my grandparents grew up knowing something that we teach in the kids ministry all the time, knowing that they can trust God no matter what. And it wasn't something that was just a banner that somebody said. It was something that they saw in her life. She trusted God and God was faithful, and they realized they could do the same. And so for me, coming to faith in Jesus was a relatively easy decision. I mean, I had to decide like, okay, do I want to, I remember when I accepted Jesus, the big hang up for me was this. Do I want my life to be over? Is that okay to say that as a pastor? I thought like accepting Jesus meant like no more fun. You can't have fun. You can't do anything, you know, anything that seems fun, jumping off of bridges or anything like that. You can't do anything crazy. And it was one of those things where God showed me like, okay, that's not the truth. In fact, one of the things that I realized is I have a Heavenly Father that loves me so much. And why would I not? Why would I not want to follow him and serve him? And it's been the greatest adventure of my life. And the reason I tell you all this is not to just share with you about my family, but I want to tell you this because your faith isn't just a private journey. I mean, for so many of us, it's like, you know, faith is kind of like we don't talk about it. You know, we don't really share it with our family, but it's never a private journey. In fact, as you learn to trust Jesus and follow him and to serve him, one of the things is your faith always rubs off on the people around you. And they get to experience more of Jesus working through your life, whether you share it in words or not. Now, I realize that some of us may have grown up in a family where there's like hardly any legacy of faith. Maybe there's no legacy of faith. Maybe you're like a first generation Christ follower. Praise God. In fact, one of the reasons that this church exists, The Fountain, is to reach so many people in this community who are not connected to a local church. In fact, about 80% in America of people are not connected to a local church. And so this is why we exist, to stand in that gap. So we're glad, so glad of what God's doing in your life. But maybe you grew up in that kind of, there's no legacy. And the thing that I want to say, what if God could take a tiny mustard seed of faith in you and could multiply it and turn it into generations and generations and generations of your family who grows to trust Jesus, all because you decided to put your faith in Jesus as well? See, this is the thing I love about legacy. So the first thing is to have leave a legacy, is to simply put our faith in Jesus, to leave a legacy of faith. Here's number two. All these are connected to the number one thing, but here's number two. Second way to leave a legacy with your family is this: serve wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly. Now, of course, Jesus is our example of everything, but especially serving wholeheartedly with all of his heart. One time he was around with his disciples. And this actually happened a few times in various scriptures where he said in some variety, if you want to be great. Another time he said, if you want to be first. I think you can also replace that with if you want to leave a legacy. Here's what he said. He said, if you want to do all that, you must be a servant of all, because saved people serve people. In fact, one of the things that's so sad to see, and you see it around, is so many people are wasting their life pursuing and serving things that just aren't going to last. I mean, so many people are running after so many things like fame and popularity and fortune and position. If I just get there, you know, the next thing. But none of that lasts. The thing is, when you learn to serve people, you become more and more like God, and you're investing in things that will last for eternity. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for this. It'll be a little bit quick, so you can write them down. Proverbs 22, verse 14, reading in the GNT version. Here's what it says. It says, you will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. Here's another one, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. This is all about serving. And the thing that's so fun about this is you can turn any job into ministry. You can turn any job into a ministry. I mean, this says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. So that means, hey, you can serve here at the Fountain. And you may have a job where you just like, you start scrubbing toilets because you see they're dirty. You're serving people. And it's like, this is the lowest of low, it feels like, but you're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it for Jesus. It could be that you're changing diapers or helping people to park their car, whatever it is at church, and you're doing it for the Lord. It could be that you go to your secular job to a boss that maybe you don't even trust. Maybe you are the boss and you don't trust yourself, whatever. But it's one of those things where you can serve the Lord right where you are. You can serve the Lord right where you are. See, the thing is, none of us have to be the brightest and the smartest, the sharpest tools in the shed in order for God to use us. Praise God. Because leaving a legacy, you can leave a legacy by serving the Lord and serving others, both here at church, but also out in the world. In fact, one of the things I want to encourage us to do as we think about serving is I think God wants us to recognize to open up our eyes, to recognize the needs of the world around us, to needs of the community around us, to the needs in your own neighborhood around you, to the people that have needs or gaps in their life, whether it's gaps of faith or other things, to recognize the needs and to respond with compassion and action. This is what Jesus modeled for us. In fact, all of us have gifts and abilities. All of us have been given these passions that God has put inside of each and every one of us. And the thing that's so fun is that God wants you to put those things to use. He wants to put the gifts and the passions and the abilities that he's placed in us to put them to use, both in the church and in the world. And one of the things I'm always blown away about is just watching this on Sunday. I mean, how in the world, first of all, does all of this happen and what you see? How in the world does a school turn into a worship space and then back to a school? How in the world do all these refresh groups happen all throughout the community and the kids ministries and youth ministries and all the things that go on? How does this all happen? I'm so blown away all the time by the way so many of you serve Jesus every single week, both here at the Fountain and out in the world. And the thing that I know is years from now, and I can say this as the pastor because I'm talking about myself, years from now, you will probably never remember a specific message that I preach. You probably won't. I mean, I hope you remember some stuff, but you probably won't remember a specific message that I preach. But I bet anything that as you continue to serve the Lord, I bet your family and I bet your kids will grow up and they'll look back and they'll talk about the way that they saw you serve the Lord and the way that they maybe got to serve the Lord together as a family. That's something that they're going to remember. Legacy. So that's the second way, to serve wholeheartedly. Here's number three, third way that we can leave a legacy that lasts in your family. It's this: give generously. Give generously. Now, this is something that Mandy and I have talked about this a lot. Giving generously is something that has been passed down to us as well. That's something that we kind of got from our families and in so many different ways and varieties. And I remember when I was little, going to church. And this is a good thing to do as a parent, by the way. I remember going to church, and we didn't get like allowance money or anything. We were just kind of expected to like just do what we're supposed to do, and our parents will provide our needs, you know. And so, but I remember going to church, and my parents would usually give us money so that we could put it in the offering basket at church. And when we were like 3, 4, it was like a quarter, you know. But it was an important quarter. It was the most money I had that week, right? And then it turned into a dollar and beyond. But they would give it to each and every one of our siblings, and we would walk in feeling like $1 million that we got to give generously of literally everything that we had at that moment. We got to give and to be a part of the offering and to be able to further the kingdom. And it was one of those things where that was just modeled for us. And I just remember, you know, kids, you get a little bit of allowance money, stuff like that sometimes. But I remember them teaching me that giving was an important part of following Jesus. And I'm so glad. You know, giving generously, though, is so much more than just money, though. I mean, we can give generously. It's also about our time. It's also about our energy. It's about our attention. In fact, when we think about giving generously, I think attention is such an important thing when it comes to family, isn't it? I mean, because it's one of those things where when we are willing to give of our attention, give generously to the people around us, kind of like that instilling things in boys and girls, when we instill in our family this attention, give that generously, it's one of those things that can shape people's lives. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And here's what it says, verse 6. It says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, you get out what you put in. Verse 7, it says this: each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion or after the worship leader plays the most beautiful song or something, you know. It says this: for God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, God doesn't want us to feel this like, oh, I don't want to have to give to the Lord. Oh, you know, God wants to raise up in us this love for Jesus where we say, God, why would I want to do anything else except for to serve you? And you put so much in my hands and I want to give it back to you. Here's what it says, verse 8. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now we're going to skip ahead to another verse, verse 11, I believe. Here's what it says: you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Basically, when we give generously, it impacts, God always multiplies our impact. Here's another scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Here's what it says: a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. See, when we live our lives giving ourselves away to other people, we're always going to be the ones who are even more blessed. And we learn this in mission trips. We go out sometimes. I've been on mission trips before, and we're going to go and we're going to build this house. So we're going to share about Jesus to some kind of people, and we're going to bless them. And every single time people come back, our youth came back a couple years ago, and they came back and they were the ones that were the most blessed. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. And so when you give generously to God and to people with your money and your time and your attention, it leaves a legacy with your family. Here's number four quickly, and here's what it is. This fourth way to leave a legacy for your family is this: to share God's truth and to share God's love. To share God's truth and to share God's love. In other words, not to just hold on tight to Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, you know, like a private thing, but to share God's truth and God's love. Here's what it says in Psalm 78, verse 4. It says this: we will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We're not going to hide it from our kids and the next generation. We want to share it. And in other words, one of the best ways to leave a legacy of faith is to share God's truth with your family. One of the ways you can do this is by just letting God be a part of your conversations and a part of your life. It doesn't mean like you're going to McDonald's and you just have to say, Jesus, you know, or something like that. Just throw Jesus in every conversation. But what I mean is like you start to read scripture together as a family, not just if you have kids, but with your spouse, with your family, you read some scripture together. Another thing that you can do is pray together. You can do it at meals. That's a good time. You can do it before you go to bed, but you can find ways to pray together as a family as well. But another thing is to share with your family about what God is doing in your life and what God's teaching you. Even the things that's like, man, I really messed this up. And you know what God taught me through that? If you're open and honest about that, your family leans in and it makes God more real. You know, there's this interesting and sad phenomenon that's happening in the United States. And you kind of heard it a little bit ago when I was talking about 80% of the population is not connected to a local church. Crazy. But even more than that, it's one of these things where in the United States, there's this phenomenon called the rise of the nuns. The rise of the nuns. And this is not like, you know, the nuns in the Catholic Church are going to revolt, you know, or anything like that. It's the rise of the nuns. It's N-O-N-E-S, nuns, like zero. And the rise of the nuns really has a lot to do with because in so many ways, the church has been too passive about sharing their faith. And the rise of the nuns simply means this, is that today, about one-fifth of the United States population and about 30% of adults who are under 30, when they declare their religious preference, instead of saying Christianity or some other kind of thing, they just simply write this word, N-O-N-E, none. In other words, what's said in other ways is that faith is just not important to me. One-fifth of the United States population says faith has no application to my life. And that means there's more and more people out there in our world and in our community who don't know of God's love and the impact that Jesus can make in their lives. Not a religion, but a relationship. And it means that the way that we can leave a legacy is to simply be people who share our faith with our family, but also let that extend out in the community. Three quick ways. One of the ways, simply invite people to church. Invite people to come and see Jesus. Another way that I think we can grow in as a church is to invite people to your refresh group. There's people that watch you pull in, you know, your cars pull in and people are like, you know, in the neighborhood are like, what's going on at your house? Invite them over. Say, hey, why don't you come over sometime? We have a lot of great food and we have, you know, not a little bit of Jesus. We have a lot of Jesus too, you know, come and see. But another way is just to simply share your faith story with the people around you. It's one of those things as we think about legacy and all these different ways. I want to just ask you this question. As we think about these bricks, is what are the building blocks or what are the bricks? What bricks are we laying in our life to leave a legacy in our family? I mean, maybe for us, I want to challenge us to leave a legacy of faith, to leave a legacy where we serve wholeheartedly, where we give generously, and where we share our faith with the people around us. And as we do this, I want you to know that legacy isn't just something, the legacy that we're supposed to leave, the weight of that doesn't just rest on our shoulders. In fact, it rests on God's shoulders. I mean, we're to simply do our part and lean into God's purposes and to stand on God's promises. And as we do, as we partner with God, God helps us to leave a family legacy that can last forever. And at the end of the day, when we mess it up, we can declare over and over and over that God is faithful. And so as we prepare for closing up today, I want us to think about the faithfulness of God. And let me pray for us as we finish up. God, we are so grateful for this truth that you are faithful. God, we thank you for the ways that you have poured into our lives and the way that you consistently, God, show your grace to us. But Lord, I also thank you that for the way that you give us opportunities to impact the lives of others, for the way that for the people in our lives that you've called us to impact. And Lord, we can all declare that we are not enough, that we don't have enough in and of ourselves, that we're going to mess up and we're going to, you know, if it's just up to us, we would leave behind a whole lot of things we don't want to leave. But God, because of you and because of your faithfulness in our life, that you can take these building blocks of faith, as fractured as they are, and you can make them into this monument that declares who you are and what you've done. And so Jesus, I just pray for every family, for every person, that you would bless them. You would give them the strength and the power to be the person and the family member that you're calling them to be. But God, I pray that you, as we think about legacy, that you would remind us that at the end of the day, you are so faithful in our lives. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.